Any health-related information on the following show provides general information only. Content presented on any show by any host or guest should not be substituted for a doctor's advice. Always consult your physician before beginning any new diet, exercise, or treatment program.
Welcome to Five to Thrive Live this evening, this eve before Independence Day. Happy evening to everybody. I'm Dr. Lisa Schuler, and I'm host of tonight's show. And Carolyn Gazelle and I have created Five to Thrive Live as a way to bring you information to transform your lives into healthier, happier lives. And we have more information about our work in our books. We have written two books. Our first book, The Definitive Guide to Cancer, and our most recent book, Five to Thrive, Your Cutting-Edge Cancer Prevention Plan. And both those books and more information, past shows, all that good stuff can be found on our website, which is www.cancerthrivers.net or five, spelled out, number two, thrive.com, 5to thrive.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just type in Cancer Thrivers, and there we will be. So as I said, Carolyn and I are definitely on a mission to help transform the experience of cancer in this country, and helping us to do that are our sponsors that we love to thank at the beginning and the end of every show, and we also encourage you to listen to the ads that will be in between our segments, because those are our sponsors. Our sponsors making this a reality are Dr. O'Hara's Probiotic, the makers of Cetria Glutathione and Cognisin Citicoline, Tomorrow's Nutrition, who have Sunthenine and Sunphenon green tea products, and then also Naturopathic Specialist Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona. So thank you, sponsors, yet again. And we are, as usual, happy to entertain your questions. I think you would love to get a little bit of wisdom from our guest tonight. So if you would like to ask a question, feel free to give us a call, 561-623-9427. Again, that number is 561-623-9427. And if you're on the website and you get into the chat room, you can also send us a question in the chat room, and I'll be monitoring that throughout the show as well. So we have a wonderful treat, I think, ahead of us this evening, and I have the great privilege of introducing our guest. And I'll tell you a little bit about her bio in a moment, but I want to just first say that Jan Adrian has done a lot of things for a lot of years to help empower people diagnosed with cancer, and she will tell you about her work. I consider Jan kind of an activist in this world, and one of the things that she does is create these incredible conferences, which she will tell you more about. But I can say that every other, and I've been a speaker at some of her conferences, and every other speaker I've talked to who is part of those speakers, whenever they say something about Jan, it's kind of like, oh, Jan. And then there's this pregnant pause, like, you know, what can you say about Jan? She's so wonderful. And she really is wonderful, Jan. So welcome to the show this evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm laughing about your introduction. It's hard to envision myself that way, but thank you.
Yes, well, you leave quite a, you're, you know, you're one of those humble souls that leave a very big footprint. And so let me just introduce you with your, kind of describe the footprint a little bit, and then we'll let you embellish it. So in 1989, you became one of 1.8 million women in this country diagnosed with breast cancer. And you had treatments that, as you say, focused on your physical body, so you really had psychological, social, and spiritual needs unmet. You had mastectomy, chemotherapy, radiation, and although you felt that those were necessary treatments, you knew that that was not enough to truly heal you. And as a result of your experience, you founded Healing Journeys, an education and support program which promotes the transition from surviving to thriving, which is what this show is all about. So Yes, again, Jan, welcome. And I wonder if you could just start us off by just telling us a little bit more about you. You don't have to get so much into your cancer story, although we'll get to that, I promise. But maybe you can just let people know kind of, you know, what you do and how you would describe yourself in the world in a few words, just to make this a little more personal.
So just a little background. I majored in psychology in college, and then I got my master's in social work. So I've always been interested in the mind-body connection. And I was for 7 years the director of an organization called the Center for Health Awareness in San Jose, California. And I was teaching classes on mind-body health to nurses, and I was on the leading edge of that. That was from 1978 to 1985, if you can believe that.
Wow.
So my interest in mind-body connection goes way back. And then I got out of the whole field of psychology for a while. I just felt burned out and wanted to do something totally different. And my husband at the time and I opened a furniture store in 1987. So I owned a furniture store for several years, and it was during that time that I was diagnosed with cancer, and that took me back into being interested in health-related stuff. So it's like I kind of got off my path for a few years, and cancer got me back on my path. So for the last 18 years, I have been the director of Healing Journeys, which is the organization you just talked about, and we do various programs, all of which I hope to be talking about later on the show.
Yeah, for sure. So I had no idea you sold furniture. I can't quite imagine it, but that sounds good, you know, creating a home in a different way for people.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time on your work in the cancer thriving world, because what you've created is really quite amazing. I mean, every experience I've been a part of has truly been transformative, which I think is what your goal is. But before we go there, you mentioned that your diagnosis got you back on your path, and it strikes me as something I hear a lot from my patients and myself too, in my own experience with cancer, that cancer, although it's a difficult teacher, does seem to help kind of get people back to where they really need to be, and so you found that to be true for you, it sounds like.
I did find that to be true, and I think the spiritual world is really important to me also. In one of Desjardins' quotes from way back is, "You are not a human being in search of a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being immersed in a human experience." So the spiritual world is really important to me, and I often pray the prayer of St. Francis of, "Lord, make me an instrument," and what am I here for? I want my life to be meaningful, and what's the purpose, and show me what to do, what can I do to best use my talents. And it's been interesting that so often when I've prayed that prayer, what has come to me is another diagnosis of cancer. Mm. So it just feels like the whole cancer world is part of what I'm here for, to do this kind of teaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, you definitely chose a difficult teacher. So tell us a little bit about your, before we take a break, we just have a couple of minutes, but maybe you could just kind of detail a little bit more your own history with cancer.
It would take more than a couple of minutes because it's a long one, but I can
shorten. Well, start us off, and then we can come back to it.
My first diagnosis was in 1989 of breast cancer, and there's been many since then, but I want to just say something about the treatment that I had, because you said in the beginning that I had a mastectomy, chemotherapy, and radiation. And I did have a mastectomy with that first diagnosis, and I started chemotherapy, but I didn't finish it. I only did one round of chemotherapy. And maybe when we come back, I can tell you what happened in my childhood that really informed that decision, because I had a very important experience when I was 16 that made me not able to accept chemotherapy as a healing agent.
Well, we definitely, that is a good cliffhanger. So Can we leave it there, and then we'll come back after break, and you can tell us?
Okay.
All right, sounds good. All right, we'll take a quick break.
Are you interested in boosting your brain power? So am I. This is Carolyn Gazella, co-host of 5 to Thrive Live, and I'm here to tell you about a supplement that I take. The human brain needs a lot of nutrition to stay focused throughout the day. Citicoline naturally enhances energy-producing centers within the brain. Cognizin delivers a clinically tested, patented form of citicoline that supplies your brain with the energy it needs to stay sharp. Look for Cognizin on the label, or for more information, visit Cognizin.com. That's Cognizin.com.
Stress has become a part of our daily lives. We become sleep-deprived and sapped of energy. Fortunately, there is a natural product that can help. L-theanine is a special amino acid found in green tea that helps us relax while keeping the brain alert and active. Tomorrow's Nutrition, Suntheanine, delivers 150 milligrams of L-theanine per capsule. Suntheanine has been clinically proven to reduce stress, improve focus, and help us sleep. For more information, visit tomorrowsnutrition.com. As a special bonus, listeners will receive 20% off any order by typing in 5 to Thrive when they check out at Tomorrow's Nutrition. Tomorrow's Nutrition and 5 to Thrive are a great combination. Don't forget the code 5 to Thrive at tomorrowsnutrition.com and get 20% off your order.
We are constantly being bombarded by toxins in the air we breathe, water we drink, and even the foods we eat. So what's the answer? Glutathione. It's inside every cell in your body and protects you from the damage of oxidative stress and toxins. There's a special patented form of glutathione that is superior called Cetria. Cetria is pure, vegetarian, and allergen-free. Help replenish your body's reserves of this very important nutrient, detoxified a natural way. Visit CetriaGlutathione.com. That's CetriaGlutathione.com.
Welcome back to 5 to 5 Live. If you've just tuned in, my name is Dr. Lisa Schuler, tonight's host of the program, and tonight I'm joined by Jan Adrian, who is just about to tell us something very, I think, interesting and unique, I bet, from her childhood that influenced her decision to discontinue chemotherapy. And we are taking your calls tonight. If you have a question for Jan, please give us a call, 561-623-9427, or you can also put your question into our chat room on the website. So, Jan, you were saying that you started chemotherapy, you only received one treatment, and stopped early because of something that went on in your childhood.
Yes. So, when I was 16, I missed an entire semester of school because I was sick and I had to be homeschooled, and I was running a fever, and they could not label the disease. It was symptoms very similar to mono, but I did not have mono. They couldn't find any label for it, so they didn't know how to treat me. So I just ran a fever and was tired all of the time. And my parents, in desperation, took me to some people would have called him a quack. He had a chiropractic shingle, but he did many other things. And he said that it didn't matter what we ever labeled the disease, but that our bodies and our immune systems were created to take care of that kind of thing, and what he was going to do was strengthen my immune system. And he did that by using a pendulum to decide what I should eat and what I shouldn't eat. And it was my first lesson on nutrition. And the advice he gave me was, now looking back, was very sound. I couldn't eat anything white, no white flour, no white sugar, And but ironically, I had to eat a lot of red meat at that time. But anyhow, he put me on a really strict diet, which I followed. So no sugar, no white flour. I had to have some nutmeg every day. I mean, there were some strange things, but I followed that diet. And in 6 months, I was healthier than I had ever been in my life. All of my symptoms went away, and I became my hair got curly that year, and I felt really, really healthy. Before that, I had had the flu every year, and after that, I don't think I had the flu for 20 years. So it made me a believer in the power of nutrition, because it had made such a difference in my life, and made me a strong believer in the power of my own body and my immune system to deal with any interferences. So then when I, so go forward till when I'm 47 and I have a cancer diagnosis, and when I felt what the effect of the chemo was, and I knew that it was hurting my immune system. And also, I did some research and found that the statistics for the chemo that they were giving me would improve my chance of survival by 5%. And I just decided that I could not believe in doing something like that with only a 5% chance of improvement. So I quit.
Mm-hmm.
And nutrition has been such an important part of what I've done ever since then. But just to go back and continue that story, I had a mastectomy in 1989. I had my first local recurrence in 1990, and that's when I did radiation. And then I didn't have a recurrence for 4 years, but then I started having local recurrences every year on the scar under my arm. And some people have said, if I would have done chemo in the first place, I wouldn't have had those recurrences. Other people have said, if I would have had chemo in the first place, I probably wouldn't be alive. So there's, of course, different opinions about that, and there's no way I will ever know which one is true. But I have dealt with lots of recurrences and have done a lot of different treatments. I've been on tamoxifen. I've been on Arimidex. I've done a year of daily interferon interleukin shots, so I've done a lot of different treatments. And then in 2002, I had a second primary diagnosis, which was a new cancer in the other breast, and I had just a lumpectomy that time. And I did not do... I was thinking about doing radiation, and then I had a new cancer diagnosis of ocular melanoma in my eye. And so my focus changed to that. And the treatment for that, the proton beam radiation, I again did the research, and that had a 97% chance of making a difference. So of course I was going to do that treatment. So I did the proton beam radiation. And as far as I know, the ocular melanoma is gone. They measure that tumor. It doesn't go away. It just quits growing. So it's still there, and I get it measured every year, and it has not grown since 2007. So I think that's okay. But the breast cancer, we found out this year, has metastasized to my lungs, and it's a very slow growing tumor. We first noticed it in 2007, not knowing what it was, just noticed there was a little spot on my lungs. And it grew just, I don't know, maybe a couple millimeters in the last year, so we did a lung biopsy and found out that it is metastatic breast cancer. So I am now living with metastatic breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's quite an experience. It seems like cancer has decided to walk with you pretty often.
It feels like it's been more of a chronic illness for me.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So it's like when I got the diagnosis of metastatic breast cancer, it was a new diagnosis, but it wasn't really a new event. It's like cancer no longer feels like an emergency to me, because it's just something that's been in my body for 23 years now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a small a relatively small group of women who have breast cancer, who do have recurrences and even metastatic recurrences that tend to kind of be manageable over a long period of time. It's a bit rare, and it's such an interesting experience because I think what you just said is so important, that you don't think of it as an emergency anymore, and that you really have come to sort of almost make peace. I don't know if you make peace with it, but it's something that you have incorporated into your day to day. That is a perspective I do not hear very often, for sure.
And you know, this sounds strange when I say it to people, but it's almost exciting for me. When I found out that this little tumor that I've in my lungs that I've had now for 5 years, and it actually got labeled, so we know what it is, it's kind of exciting to see what I can do in my life that will actually have an effect on it. Mm-hmm. So we did the lung biopsy in November of last year, and I haven't done any kind of medical treatment, any external treatment, because I'm really excited to see how I can make a difference doing things that I can do myself rather than what somebody else has to do to me. And I don't know if Kellyanne Turner did her PhD thesis on spontaneous remission of cancer, and she spent a year interviewing healers and people who have had spontaneous remissions of cancer all over the world. And she came up with the results of six, she calls them treatments, they don't seem like treatments to me, but six things that were the most common that they all did that may elicit spontaneous remission. And so I'm focusing on those six things, and that's what mm-hmm. I've been doing for the last 6 months.
And do you remember the six things that you can share those?
I remember them really well. Yes, I have them memorized.
So can you share them?
Number one is deepening one's spirituality. Number two is trusting in intuition regarding health decisions. Number three is releasing negative and or repressed emotions. Number four, feeling love, joy, and happiness. Number five, changing one's diet. And number six, taking herbal or vitamin supplements.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds good to me. So, you know, you have this, I think, rather unique journey with cancer, but you've, in addition to, I think, using this experience to create a richer, deeper life for yourself, you've also used this experience to help others. And can you tell us a little bit about when that started? Like, what gave you the idea to start healing journeys? And I don't actually know if that was even the first iteration of this work, but maybe you can kind of take us back to the beginning and mm-hmm. describe a little bit about what you do.
I can. So when I was dealing with my first cancer diagnosis, I came from the background, I said earlier, I came from a background of teaching classes on mind-body health, so I knew that there was much more to healing than chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. So one of my early oncologists, this was in Fresno, and I don't think an oncologist just would say this now, but when I asked him, I said, everything that you're recommending to me is a treatment of the body, and I'm much more than a body, and how are we going to treat the rest of me, my emotions, my spiritual side? And he raised his voice, he yelled at me, and he said, emotions have nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he said that, because it made me think about what about the women who might be getting that same message and who don't have the background that I do and who don't know it's not true. So anyhow, that was one of the seeds that was planted. And I was really looking for resources for myself. There wasn't a lot available in 1989. I couldn't find a support group. I was just looking for resources for healing myself emotionally, spiritually. And I went to a conference in Southern California that was for continuing education, because I have my master's in social work and I was attending it to maintain my continuing education. And one of the speakers was Jean Shinoda Bolen, who's a very prolific author and a Jungian analyst. And she was speaking about cancer, about any disease, as a descent into the underworld. She was using the metaphor of mythology. And as she was speaking about cancer as a disease of the soul, it felt like she was talking just to me. And there were tears running down my cheeks as I was listening to her, and I thought, oh, this is just what I needed to hear. And then at the end of her talk, there was an immediate standing ovation of about 900 doctors, nurses, social workers. And I realized that it wasn't just for me. It's a message that everybody really needs, that there's a real hunger for hearing about how disease affects the soul and how we can address it in other ways. So I made a decision then that I was going to create something that would be for those of us on the front line, for people living with cancer rather than just for health professionals, but something like that conference that I was attending, specifically aimed at people with cancer. So that was in 1994. The first conference was in 1994, and Jean Shinoda Bolen was a speaker at that conference. And it was 2 days of speakers and music and humor and languages of the spirit. Music and humor, to me, are languages of the spirit, so they're always part of every conference. So anyhow, I created this 2-day conference, and we did the first one on the beach in Monterey, and there were 280 people, I think, at that first one. And after doing, I was charging, at that time, I was charging $200 for the weekend conference, and after doing 5 conferences, I was personally $35,000 in debt. It could not pay for itself with that model. And yet people were telling me things like, it had saved my life. Mm. I had one experience in San Francisco. I was at another conference as a volunteer, and a woman came up to me that I didn't know, and she said, are you the woman who did that cancer conference? And I said, yes. And she just threw her arms around me, and she started sobbing. And she said, I want you to know you saved my life. Mm-hmm. She said, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I thought it was a death sentence, and I was home dying. And my friend took me kicking and screaming to your conference, and I found out that it can be a life sentence. And she said, that was several years ago, and I am thriving. And she was so grateful. And so experiences like that made me feel like I had to keep doing it, and I had to find some way of making it work. Mm-hmm. So in 1996, we did our first free conference just to see what would happen if we did it for free. And it meant that I could get some sponsors. And 1,300 people came to that one. It was done at Stanford in their auditorium. And so by then I had created Healing Journeys to help produce the conference. Healing Journeys is a nonprofit organization that can accept tax-deductible donations and can get sponsorships. So we had a nonprofit, and we did it free. And so that conference was the first one ever that paid for itself, mm-hmm. with donations. So then we made a commitment that we would always do it free from then on.
Wow, that's just so, it's almost counterintuitive. You know, you'd think, oh, if she has to make more money, better charge more.
But, you know, it's been, all along this work feels like it's been spiritually directed. And there are so many synchronicities that have happened that show me that I'm not doing it alone, and that Spirit is really guiding and directing this work.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it does feel counterintuitive, but it also felt really right.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like your first conference is something that the format and the intent is something you've really maintained over these many years, because the more recent conferences, which I've been a part of, have been just that. It feels like you are just, you know, letting spirit flow, and you kind of warm the audience up, and, you know, you often describe a buffet to them, and that they're going to find things they like and find things they don't like. And,
right.
You know, I think people really do just come from such a diverse. There's such a diverse group of people in your in these events, and but they all do seem to leave transformed in some way.
I think there's something for everybody, and we usually start with something more from the head because people come wanting information.
Mm-hmm.
And then we always include the heart. And I sometimes get upset with people that just want to come listen to the speakers that are going to give them information, but they think that the music or the drama or the humor is just entertainment, and they don't need that. They just want left brain information. Is
mm-hmm.
it left brain? I forget which is left and which is right. Anyhow, mm-hmm. the information that just goes
yep.
to the head.
Yep.
And I think when I was diagnosed with cancer, and of course you always ask, what did I do to create this? I mean, I don't think I created it, but then I just looked at what in my life can I improve to be more healthy? And I realized that I had not been nourishing my soul. I had been working. I had been a real workaholic. That's when I had the furniture store. We started a new business, and I was working all the time. So I wasn't listening to music, and I wasn't laughing, and I wasn't going for walks in nature, and I wasn't doing things that nourished my soul. So I'm a really strong believer now that nourishing my soul is part of what is keeping me well.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to include something in the conference, and I think it's important for everybody to address all parts of themselves, for all of us to address all parts of ourselves and to nourish our bodies and our souls both.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jan, with that, that's where we've arrived at another break time, but that's a wonderful parting thought for people to reflect on as they listen to commercials. And we'll come back, and when we come back, let's talk some more about soul and spirit.
Okay.
All right, so we'll take a little break.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Naturopathic medicine can be a powerful weapon in the fight against cancer. When experience is important, naturopathic specialist is the right choice. Our goal for you is to experience optimal wellness, whether you currently have cancer or want to prevent cancer and its recurrence. Our expertly trained physicians use targeted, safe, and effective therapies that are customized to your unique circumstances. Naturopathic specialists offer comprehensive packages to all, including out-of-town patients, as well as phone consultations. This way, people can experience our care without traveling long distances. Our office is committed to delivering reputable and quality medicine for people interested in women's health issues, environmental illness, cancer prevention, or treatment. Please call us at 480-990-1111 to make an appointment or find out more about what our practice can offer you. That's 480-990-1111 or visit us online at listenandcare.com.
Stress has become a part of our daily lives. We become sleep deprived and sapped of energy. Fortunately, there is a natural product that can help. L-theanine is a special amino acid found in green tea that helps us relax while keeping the brain alert and active. Tomorrow's Nutrition Sun-theanine delivers 150 milligrams of L-theanine per capsule. Sun-theanine has been clinically proven to reduce stress, improve focus, and help us sleep. For more information, visit tomorrowsnutrition.com. As a special bonus, listeners will receive 20% off any order by typing in 5 to Thrive when they check out at Tomorrow's Nutrition. Tomorrow's Nutrition and 5 to Thrive are a great combination. Don't forget the code 5 to Thrive at tomorrowsnutrition.com and get 20% off your order.
Welcome back to 5 to Thrive Live. I'm Dr. Lisa Schuler, tonight's host, and I am joined by Jan Adrian, who has been sharing some really wise wisdom with us tonight about her experience with cancer and about how she's used her experience to help transform the lives of many, many, many others who have been diagnosed with cancer. We are still taking your calls. If you'd like to give us a call, 561-623-9427, or feel free to join us in the chat room. And so before the break, Jan, we were talking about spirit and how spirit animates what you do through the conferences, and it sounds like really has animated your journey through cancer too. And I wonder if you could just comment a little bit on how, you know, because in some ways, I'm going to preface this a little bit, I think sometimes the spirit of cancer is not very gentle, and it's hard for people to reckon with it, to sort of figure out how to partner up with that entity that's invaded their lives, it feels like, and really use that as a transformative growth experience. And I wonder if you have any thoughts around how you've been able to do that.
The one thought that comes to me is when I used to teach mind-body seminars for nurses way back in the 80s, I used to teach something called the three V's. And the three V's are verbalize, visualize, and vitalize. And I use that in all areas of my life. But verbalize is creating affirmations. And so those are the words. It's the language of the mind. And to visualize is to use imagery, using all of the senses. But I think the most important part is to vitalize, which is to experience the emotion as if it's already happened. And that the emotion or the feeling, how I feel, is what is, God, it's hard to put this, it's hard to define spirituality, but I think the way one feels is a spiritual essence. And so I've really just tried to notice when I feel good, when I feel excited, when I feel free. And often it's related to music for me. And if I listen to a song that has words that are powerful, then it creates an imagery for me and it makes me feel good. I can feel as if the affirmation has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
That essence is what I try to bring to a conference. So having music as part of a conference is always essential. And music with words that are empowering, but also a feeling. So in the conference that we just had in Spartanburg, at the end of the day, there was a lot of information on the first day, but then the last presenter was a blues singer who started out by playing She Just Wants to Dance. And the whole audience was up in the aisles dancing. There were
mm-hmm.
like 340 people. And it felt so good to just release that emotion, and it just brought the vibration of everybody in the room, I think, just moved right up with that
mm-hmm.
music. And so often, I forget to do that at home. I mean, I remember to do it in a conference to have music, but then sometimes at home, when I'm feeling I mean, if I think about the cancer, or I think about what could be happening, or I think about the worst that could happen, of course it could take me way down. But if I think about what's the best that could happen, and I can feel as if that already happened, then it raises my vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yes, absolutely, and I think that's a very eloquent way to describe spirit, and I think that what you're saying is so important, that, you know, people really owe it to themselves to enliven their lives with music. And I know that another area that you feel very strongly about, and I think from a spiritual perspective, is food and nurturing yourself with food. And in fact, one variation of your conferences really focuses on food and preparing food. And maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about that.
I can. Nutrition is something that's been really important to me since I was 16, when I first learned about what a difference it can make. And when I was first diagnosed with cancer in 1989, the general belief was that anyone with cancer needed to be on a low-fat vegetarian diet. So I did that like a good little girl, and I did a low-fat vegetarian diet for 12 years. And I kept having cancer recurrences during that whole time. And in 2002, when I had another new primary cancer plus a recurrence, I just felt like I needed to do something different. So I started to do some more research. And that was when I read a book by Dr. Harold Crystal called Nutritional Solutions. And it was about eating for your metabolic type, which there's a long history of different people that have studied that and written about it, but I hadn't heard about it before. So I got tested for my metabolic type, and it's an extensive test, 3 hours, drink a glucose challenge drink, and over 3 hours, every 45 minutes, they test your blood and your urine and your saliva and your blood pressure and ask you questions, and then create a chart to determine how you're metabolizing your food, and then put you into a particular metabolic type. And I was told for my type that it was most important to have meat at every meal. And I thought, oh my God, that's the opposite of what I've been doing. But then I remembered that when I was 16 and I had that experience of being put on a diet that made me better, that one of the things I had to do during that time was eat red meat. So then I started studying more and learning more about meat and finding out that not all red meat is the same. So the studies that have been done that show that red meat helps produce cancer has all been done with factory farm raised beef in the United States. But similar studies that have shown that eating red meat can actually be cancer protective have been done on grass-fed meat in Europe. So I learned that I needed to eat meat, but I needed to only eat grass-fed beef or free-range chicken or grass-fed lamb. So it made it almost impossible to go out to restaurants for a while because at that time, no restaurants had that. Of course, now it's changing. So I think on the West Coast or the East Coast, you can actually find healthy meats in a restaurant. So anyway, I changed my diet again dramatically. And then we started, through Healing Journeys, we started doing a one-day workshop called Cancer Fighting Kitchen. Rebecca Katz wrote the book, Cancer Fighting Kitchen, and then the nutritionist that I have worked with is Jean Wallace. So we did the first Cancer Fighting Kitchen workshops with Jean Wallace and Rebecca. So we had one person that was talking about the science of nutrition, and then Rebecca, who calls herself a culinary translator, and teaches us how to use that science in the kitchen so we can create our own medicine. Food is medicine. And then, of course, we've started also having you teach that class with Rebecca. So you did one last year for us, and then you'll be teaching that class with Rebecca in Eureka, California on August 4th. And I'm saying that specifically because some of the people listening may want to come. and they can find out about it at our website, healingjourneys.org. I think it's an incredibly empowering day because you are going to present the science about why it can actually make a difference, why eating some wimpy foods can actually be more powerful, I think, than some kind of treatment, because treatment only happens for a short time, and it's time limited, and we eat every day. So three times a day, every day, we have the opportunity to actually make a difference in our genes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it. I mean, I totally enjoyed participating in that, and I'm looking forward to it again. And I think it's so unique. And what I love about it is, just like you said, there's the scientific aspect, but then you have this entertaining and fabulous chef who's describing how to interact with these chemicals in a way that makes a meal. So it transforms science into nurturance. Yes. And then, you know, what she cooks, people eat for lunch, so they get to experience it actually.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a really wonderful event.
Yes, it is. And I, even though I've attended it many times now because we've been offering it for 2 years, I still get re-energized every time, and I may hear the same thing again, but I hear it in a different way, and so I wind up with some kind of new take-home every time of something that will make a difference in my own health.
Mm-hmm. Well, me too. I remind myself all the time of things, which is why this is a journey and why we're not at the end already.
Yeah.
So, gosh, you know, you've just done so much. I guess if you... It just feels a little bit like you have created and continue to create such a legacy, and it's a very, you know, it's a very gentle and kind legacy that you're creating, because you really do create these extraordinary events that people go to and find always something that helps them to find better health and more wellness, and you continue to do it despite your own situation. Yeah.
Can I put in a plug for the next conference also, Cancer as a Turning Point from Surviving to Thriving, because you will also be speaking there.
You can, and then this is your final word, Jan, so, you know, make it a good one.
Okay. So September 8th and 9th in Sacramento will be a two-day Cancer as a Turning Point from Surviving to Thriving conference, and to attend the conference is free. There's no charge. We do offer continuing education for nurses and therapists, but we do charge for that, and there's a charge for lunch. But if somebody just wants to attend, they can. And there's the possibility that this may be the last conference, because we're having more and more difficulty raising the money to make it happen. The cancer centers that used to be sponsors are just say they don't have the money to do it anymore. So we don't have any conferences planned for next year, and I think we may switch to doing something else. So this opportunity, September 8th and 9th in Sacramento, is a good one, and I hope a lot of people will come.
Good. Well, and again, I just want to thank you and for your tremendous work in bringing these fabulous people. I mean, I have attended the full thing. You know, sometimes when I go to conferences, I just kind of pop in and pop out, although I've stopped doing that because I've realized that it's really important for me to partake of the whole experience. And I think that in part was an inspiration from your Healing Journeys conferences, that I really realized that it's the whole thing, and boy, why do I want to miss any of this? So I'm looking forward to it once again.
Good.
Well, this has been, yes, thank you, and this has been really wonderful. Jan, I want to thank you again for joining us on the eve of the Independence Day of our country, and it's really been a privilege to have you on 5 to Thrive Live, and I also want to, again, thank our sponsors whose support make it possible for us to bring people like Jan to you, listeners. And our sponsors are Dr. O'Hara's Probiotic, Cetria Glutathione, Cognizant, Citicoline, Tomorrow's Nutrition with Suntheanine and Sunphenon, and then Naturopathic Specialist Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona. And tomorrow night, we are going to rerun a popular show that we did with Dr. Donald Abrams and Clint Werner, and they're going to talk about the scientific evidence and history and legalization of medical marijuana. And then on Thursday, we have another live show with Carolyn hosting. She's going to be interviewing Weiler Heck, who's a naturopathic doctor and acupuncturist, and she will be talking about traditional Chinese medicine and how that can be used to support health during and after cancer treatment. And then on Friday, Carolyn and I will once again do our research review. So we hope that you can join us throughout the week right here on on W4CS.com at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And if you'd like information about past shows and future schedules, again, go to our website, 5thrive.com. And that brings us to the end. So I want to just again wish everyone a very happy, joyful evening. May you experience joy, laughter, and love. And it is time to thrive. Good night, everyone.